Welcome back to Through the Word. Today, the B-side of John chapter 7 to cover some awesome truths that we just didn't get to. Hello, B-siders. As you know, the running joke on Through the Word is that you are Chris Langham's favorite, way cooler than the A-siders. But what Chris doesn't know is that I'm your favorite. Okay, that's probably as much as a figment of my imagination as it is to Chris's that you're his favorites, but all in good fun. So it's good to be off from the Old Testament just a little bit. But John 7 was about Jesus' trip to Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles and the crowd's confusion about him and whether or not he was the Messiah. In verse 25, the crowd reaches boiling point. Let's read it. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, "Isn't this the man they're trying to kill? Here he is, speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah? But we know where this man's from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from." In other words, they knew his mama, they knew his papa, they knew Mary and Joseph were his parents, but Messiah was supposed to be this mysterious figure from heaven. And Jesus cries out, when they're mumbling amongst themselves as if he's reading their minds, "Yes, you know me. You know where I'm from." And like so many other times in John, Jesus is speaking spiritually while the people are fixated on the physical reality. It's part of having your eyes open to spiritual truths or seeing with the eyes of faith. But if the crowd reached a boiling point in verse 25, Jesus reaches it in what John points out in verse 37 as the last and greatest day of the festival. It was the Feast of Tabernacles, the festival that celebrated God miraculously providing for his people in the desert. Let's read verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Before we get to the heart of what Jesus said, it's important to first look at when he said it. John says that Jesus cried out on the last and greatest day, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." So what made the last day of this 7-day festival the greatest day? Well, this is what happened on that day. Let's put ourselves there. All of the crowd is gathered behind the high priest as he walks from the temple courts to the pool of Siloam. Everyone singing Psalm 118 as they follow behind the priest. You're there. You're a Jew, and you've done this every year since you could remember. It's part of your pilgrimage, and it would be a reminder to you that God provided for his people all they ever needed. You try to remind yourself of that as you followed the procession from the temple to the Pool of Siloam. After all, you've got a big journey back home coming up when all this is ended. But for now, you focus on the lyrics that are being sung as you march with the crowd following the high priest leaving the temple. Together with the crowd, you sing the words of Psalm 118, sung year after year at this very moment on this very march. Let's pick up Psalm 118, verse 22, to hear the words you're singing. "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success." Wow. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Who's the stone? Who are the builders? And why did they reject him? Well, the parade finally arrives at the Pool of Siloam, and you press in to see the high priest fill a large pitcher with water. He holds it up high, and the crowd cheers. Then he turns and starts the walk again back, winding through the city, back to the temple. You follow with everyone else until the high priest stops at the temple steps. Once more, heaves the pitcher over his head, and slowly tips it, pouring out a clear, refreshing stream of water that begins to cascade down the steps, outward toward the people, in a flood. You're reminded that during their time in the wilderness, when God provided the very thing this festival is about, that God once provided water out of a rock in the middle of the desert when the people were so thirsty they thought they would die of thirst. And as the water flows down the temple steps from the priest pouring it out, the priest himself quotes Isaiah 12:3 with a loud voice. Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you're overcome with emotion as you recount God's faithfulness over the years and how it's been hard to hold on to sometimes, how life itself can feel like a desert. And the belief that there's always going to be just what you need can sometimes be hard to hold on to. It's difficult to keep the faith. And as the water begins to trickle out, before the last few drops are emptied and the crowd will cheer hallelujah on cue, you suddenly hear, in that pregnant pause, a lone voice shout loudly in that poised moment of silence between awe and jubilation. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. At first, you could have heard a pin drop. Nobody has ever interrupted the ceremony before. Who would dare? Suddenly a murmur ripples through the crowd, and like everyone else, you start to look around, trying to identify where this voice came from. And there your eyes land on that face. You've seen him before. You saw him debating with the Pharisees. You tried to catch a glimpse of him at different times. People were talking about him a lot. And you heard him teaching earlier that week. And his words, it's Jesus. You begin to hear even more fractured opinions about him and whispers all around you in the crowd. John 7, verse 40. On hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. Others said, he is the Messiah. Still others asked, how can Messiah come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but none laid a hand on him. And here we leave the crowd and its fickleness divided about him. What to think? How to respond? You have your own thoughts. He had said, anyone, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. And you think to yourself, yes, I am thirsty, Jesus. I don't know why, but when you say that, something aches in the core of my being. I've been thirsty all my life. And although I've tried to sate my thirst with wine, pleasure, and people, or even religion, nothing has ever really satisfied my soul. I feel more like that jar that the priest emptied out, and I get emptier every year, going through the motions. But Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Living water, like that spring in the pool of Siloam, like all the springs that God provided to our ancestors. Would God cause a spring to fill up within my heart? Then I'd never be thirsty again. I've been here year after year, doing this ceremony, and wanting to trust God. We walk, we get water, we pour it out. But I just want what Jesus had said to be filled. Even his words spoke about let us drink deeply from the wells of salvation. I want to drink deeply, but the priest can't give it to me. This ceremony is all he has. And it's only a reminder, but it doesn't do the trick. Only God can fill me. And Jesus said if I go to him, he would make that happen. So now I've got to think, what does it mean to believe in him? Everyone around me thinks he's a prophet or a freak, but me, I think he's the Messiah. He said, let everyone come to me. How do I get to him? My friend, every single one of us ends up in this very place at some point on our spiritual journey, when God is speaking to us in a unique way. Nobody can tell you exactly how to come to him, but I can tell you he's waiting for you. He's waiting for your approach. For some, it's a prayer. For others, it feels like surrender. For more still, it's the dawning realization that Jesus is their creator and God, and their only hope. He's their savior. Whoever, Jesus said, if anyone, those were his words. Are you thirsty today? That's the only prerequisite to come to him. And John goes on to say he was speaking of his Holy Spirit. By the way, the Holy Spirit is God himself, come to live inside of you, to fill you. He becomes a part of your life. He fills you like a well, and he begins to overflow into the lives of others around you who are also thirsty, so that they begin to experience him and drink deeply from the wells of salvation, just as you have.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.